Get your ass up. This the Queen Quimo podcast. Get your ass up. This the Queen Quimo podcast. Get your ass up. This the Queen Quimo podcast. Look, 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 look. This the Queen Quimo podcast. Better get in tune when she broadcasts. Small feet. Better pay attention when she broadcasts. All facts. Might learn something with your dog ass. Get yourself checked on a Sunday. Just might get you right on a Monday. Aim high. Why? You can make it big someday. Cause when I say aim, I ain't talking about the gunplay. Even though we straight from the hood with it. Any topic we could talk was good with it. Yeah. Midwest, we putting on. You an artist in your song. Think your track hot, we gon' see when she put it on. They either gon' vibe or they gon' leave when she put it on. That's G, get to know about Queen. No subject, look, she just might open up. Not play this and freestyle when she open up. No play thing on the low, she be going nuts. Got the city going up. This the type of show you listen to when you're rolling up or chilling at the crib with your fam and y'all pulling up. Get some knowledge and a laugh on this podcast. Queen representing for the people on this podcast. Get some knowledge and a laugh on this podcast. Queen representing for the people on this podcast. It's the Queen Quimo podcast. Get your ass up. It's the Queen Quimo podcast. Look, get your ass up. It's the Queen Quimo podcast. Look, get your ass up. Nigga. Fat.
Hey, go Raya. It's your birthday. Go Raya. It's your birthday. Go Raya. It's your birthday. We got Raya in the house. Naraya in the house. What day is today?
Tuesday.
I said, what's the day?
Tuesday.
Cause we got Raya here on a Tuesday. And we rapping cause we do this shit every day. This my podcast. And you know that call me Queen Quay. Gonna listen to me, subscribing on iTunes. And you can get me on
Give
Google. What's today?
Give
I said, what's today?
Tuesday.
I said, what's today?
Tuesday.
What is today, Raya?
Tuesday.
What is today, Raya? Okay. Hey, hey, it's my anniversary, ho. I've been doing this shit for about 2 years, ho. Yeah. It's my anniversary for a podcast. I've been doing this shit for 2 whole years. Everybody thought I would fucking stop by now. But I keep on going. Tupac right now. 2 blocks right now. I know that he's singing in the background. I don't care. I'ma keep on rapping this shit like how you do that there. Hey. What's up, y'all? Today is January 7th, 2020. And you are now listening to the Queen Quimo podcast. Shalom. Assalamu alaikum. All of that good shit, you know. That's right, y'all hear this music in the background. It is my podcast anniversary, y'all. Like, for real, like, I don't know how pumped everybody else is about it, but all of my listeners and my supporters and my friends, they have been, like, excited about it. And if some people don't understand why the fuck I'm so excited about it, like, girl, it's just recording on the podcast. You ain't doing shit. You just on there talking shit, woo, 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 woo. Yeah, 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 bitch, suck my dick. Suck my dick, bitch, it's my anniversary. No, but on some real shit, man, thank y'all to everybody that, like, been rocking with me from the very fucking beginning to when I didn't have no logo picture. My picture was just, like, the nappy locks when they was little. And, yeah, like, literally, when I first started podcasting, I didn't have no idea what the fuck I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. So I'm 2 years in now. I got 3 different shows. So I got Sips, Laughter, and Chatter, Black Hair Care Matters, and of course, Queen Quimo Podcast. And I got some other shit in the works. So, man, thank y'all so much. Like, this has been a very, very, very wonderful experience. Like, it's been a very rewarding experience. Like, I love podcasting. Like, I try to tell people all the time to get into podcasting, but I also want to tell people if you're not, like, into it, then don't just get into it for the wrong reasons. Like, it's a lot of benefits from podcasting. And in the beginning, like I said, around me and my circle and, like, area, I didn't know anybody podcasting. I think I knew one other person that was from the crib that was podcasting. And, like, even them, they weren't doing it to a level where I could really ask questions to get information that I needed to, like, really take it to a high level. And I'm still not where I want to be, of course. It's only 2 years in, but, like, man, in the 2 years of me podcasting, I've had a lot of, like, dope shit happen, and I plan to get some more dope shit happening for the year 2020. So let me just do a little recap. So if y'all been listening to me from the beginning, y'all know how I used to, like, do my show. I just used to kind of talk shit, play everybody music, and I want to get back to that. Shout out to the Midwest. Shout out to my city, Elkhart, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, South Bend, Indianapolis. Let me just shout out Indiana, first of all. Indianimals. Hey, matter of fact, let me play that shit so y'all know it's real. I think the Indianimals is the future breed. Shit, we Indianimals. But yeah, shout out to all my Indianimals, everybody from Indiana. Y'all know what it is. Like, we the originators, and I fucks with y'all. I really fucks with y'all. You know, like, I don't think we get enough credit in Indiana for all of the shit that go on out here that we really be putting on and, like, doing, especially in the black community. You know, so shout out to all my niggas from fucking Indiana. Shout out to all my niggas from the Midwest, period. Like, the Midwest, y'all hold me down, and I hold y'all down. But just, yeah. You know, I just wanted to throw that out that up. But anyways, enough of that shit that I'm talking about. Nah, literally, when I first started podcasting, I knew nothing. I didn't know how to run a show. I didn't know how to create content. I didn't know the importance of creating an outline. I didn't know about all of the opportunities that come with podcasting, all of the challenges that come with podcasting, all of the rules. Like, literally, doing this has not only helped me step up professionally, but it also, like, opened some entrepreneurial endeavors for me, being a podcaster. It also was therapeutic for me, like, just being able to talk. And, like, when I'm creating content for different episodes, I got a chance to really, like, look at shit within myself, you know? And so, yeah, like, in the beginning, I had no idea what I was doing. My intentions were pure. My intentions still are pure with my show. So, as y'all see me continually growing, you know, and seeing that my show is constantly, like, evolving, getting better and better. You feel me? Getting better and better. Getting more and more listeners and shit and sponsorships and shit. Shout out to y'all. You know, I would never be able to, like, take it to another level if friends and family and people that I come across wasn't listening to my podcast, giving feedback, requesting episodes, buying merch. Like, y'all the fucking shit. So, I said this on my blog. If y'all subscribe to my blog article, y'all know Customer Appreciation Month is this month. So what I'm going to start doing is throwing hella deals, doing giveaways, t-shirts, all of that type of stuff, just to show y'all that I really rock with y'all for rocking with me and not just being like, you know, y'all challenge me. Like, y'all be like, hey, bitch, shit, I listened to the episode you did. I really didn't like when you said this and this and that. Or I listened to the episode you did, and I love that you challenged this person to say this and this and that. I really rock with y'all because even in that in itself, I don't think people, like, realize how hard it is to fucking podcast. Like, number one, I'm really from the fucking ghetto. I'm from the hood. Like, and not saying that that's a bad thing. That's a very good thing. But sometimes I have a hard time, like, adapting to change, you know, and trying to, like, push myself to do a little bit more because I'm so comfortable. I'm used to being comfortable. And that's the thing about, like, being shit at the crib or being in the hood or whatever. I'm comfortable there. You know what I'm saying? I'm very comfortable. So sometimes when I have to go to other spaces, I'm not as comfortable as I would be at the crib. But podcasting has showed me how to, like, still be comfortable, but still, like, accept the challenges that come with being somewhere different, a different surrounding. So, like, number one, interviewing. Like, interviewing is not easy. You know what I'm saying? Interviewing is not easy. People think, like, oh, Quay doing a podcast, I could do one too, it's easy. Nah, bro, like, it's hard work. And not saying that it's not fun. It is fucking fun. It's a blast. Like, it's a lot of shit you could do with podcasting, but I want you to understand, like, everybody, it's a lot of work. So interviewing is one of those things where you got to do that shit right. You got to have an interesting interview. You got to learn how to, like, not just talk to people, but listen to people in an interview. Because when you bringing a guest to your show, it ain't really about what the fuck you think. It's about what your audience think and about them answering the questions that your audience want to hear. So you got to be really crafty and, like, develop some type of technique to, like, make good interviews. And so that, me just starting interviewing people is just making me really, like, learn how to communicate more effectively with people. Like, I always felt like I was a great fucking communicator because people love talking to me and I love talking to people. But I also feel like that's one of those things that, you know, we all say, oh, yeah, I'm a great communicator. But no, that's nothing. That's something that you got to constantly, like, continuously work on, because everybody want to talk, but nobody want to listen. Everybody want their voice heard, but nobody want to hear nobody else's voice. So, like, podcasting, for me, has opened me up to not being so fixed on my own opinion or so fixed on my own voice that I can't listen to what anyone else has to say and possibly miss out on the lesson. Because sometimes, like, I learn a lot just from, like, sitting down and conversing with other people. So I feel like I said, podcasting has, like, made me grow. And it's really good for business because communication is really what ruled a motherfucking nation. So learning how to communicate effectively and, like, listen to people effectively, I learned that from podcasting. Like, from trying to conduct interviews, from trying to scout interviews. Like, it's a lot of interviews that I've conducted that have never even been posted on this show. And it's because, like, not that I'm embarrassed by my work, but I feel like sometimes I didn't even know what the fuck I was doing. And so it was just like, I'll post it later. It's like, I'll post it later. Like, I got so much shit in the archive. I'm like, man, I want y'all to see how far I really came from this shit. Like, I really didn't know absolutely nothing, like, how to do anything. So it really, like, is important to me. And so when people be trying to, like, minimize my little podcast situation or whatever, I be big fucking mad and I be having to get on that shit with them. Tupac Shakur style shit. Slow pressure with it. Fuck you mean. But nah. No, it's some real shit though. Like, it really, I take the craft very fucking serious. Like, I love podcasting. I love listening to other people's shows. I love going to podcasting events. I want to be more and more and more in tune and involved with my podcast show. So y'all will be seeing a lot of things in the year 2020, because now I'm making adjustments to my schedule so I could specifically do this, what I do best, podcasting, baby, podcast. So yeah, but that has helped me. Like I said, I've learned how to communicate more effectively, come to some realizations about things I need to change within myself, because I end up doing these episodes, doing these self-check Sundays and shit, and not realizing that I was a toxic motherfucker myself and still am. Every day I'm toxic and I got to do my detox. But we're not going to talk about that on this episode. I got a whole nother episode that'll be probably available Sunday that's going to discuss entirely about being toxic and, like, how we all fucking toxic, you know. But anyways, we ain't getting into that shit right now. We're going to talk about it later. But yeah, so what else happened? I learned how to get money with podcasting. You know, it's not just primarily about the money, because I don't get no fuck about being broke. That's number one. But let's keep it real. We all want some money out here, don't we? We all want to eat. So, of course, you want to be compensated for all of your hard work. So I found ways to, like, not sell out my show, but sell out my show. You feel me? Like, I found different ways, like, how to make podcasting work for me. You know what I'm saying? So it's just been a lot. It's been a lot of learning. I'm always, like, helping other people if I can. I do have a podcast e-course, and right now I'm actually giving it away for free because the new one is under construction. Like, I had a $20 e-course that I was selling on my website, and it was just like some audio, like a syllabus and it was three audio recordings and a syllabus, but it basically just show you how to get the podcast started, how to monetize the podcast, how to advertise the podcast. But I'm taking that motherfucker down, and it's going under construction to make it better and more in depth, to show people the for real way on how to be a bomb ass podcaster, because I have learned a hell of a lot in 2 years, and I've touched not just the surface and some shit, but I done got a lot of shit about the mud just from fucking podcasting, you know. So don't underestimate the power of a podcasting. So if you're a brand person, or you got a big brand, or you got a book launching or coming out, you got a business you're trying to promote, y'all really need to start connecting with different podcasters and put some respect on their name, because not only do they have people that may be looking to shop for whatever market you up in. But, you know, that's it. It's all about bread and butter, baby, period. Like, we connected as fuck. Like, we really plugs. And people don't understand that. Like, you know, they don't. They try to minimize what you do to make it seem like it's not important. So I have had my frustrations with that. Like, just people just trying to minimize my show or minimize what it is that I do. But that's neither here nor there. You know what I'm saying? I don't do it for those who don't give a fuck. I do it for myself first and the public second. You know what I'm saying? Because generally, that's what I always have gave a fuck about, other people. So everything I do, it's going to always benefit other people, but it benefits me helping other people. That's who I am. I've always been that person, you know. But anyways, yeah, man. Thank y'all for fucking rocking with me and supporting with me, man. This episode was just me just celebrating. I'm literally having a toast with myself, having a little drink, in my pajamas, on my computer, trying to get some work done. And I just wanted to chat with y'all and let y'all know that it's my motherfucking podcast anniversary. So the later duration of this episode, I'm going to play some music from some homies, couple of clips from old episodes, and make sure you tell your mama, tell your daddy, tell your granddaddy, tell everybody to listen to the Queen Quamo podcast, y'all. Keep spreading the word about my show. Keep telling people to listen to my show. Make sure y'all subscribe to the website and that y'all on my social medias so that y'all could be being a part of Customer Appreciation Month, okay? I'm going to start doing my raffles, my giveaways, my sales, all of that stuff. So from now all the way up until probably February, because you know February is Black History Month, we gotta represent for our people. So yeah, I love y'all. I appreciate every last one of y'all, and man, just keep tuning in, man, because shit, all I'm doing is fucking going up from here, just going up, you know. And the reason why I'm going up and I go so crazy, because I'm bringing motherfuckers with me. Like, shit, I'm trying to put our motherfucking people on the map. And even though it's a lot of people already doing what we're doing, like, it's just never enough. It's never enough people, like, putting on for our cities, putting on for our Black peoples, putting on for our race, etc. So I want to be a person who helps create change instead of just running my motherfucking mouth complaining. So, yeah. I love y'all. Y'all have a good night. Y'all have a good work week. Keep tuning in. Tell your mama, granddaddy, everybody. Check out the Queen Quamo podcast. Toodles.
It's Quamo in the house. We gon' party in this bitch. And I say, it's Monday. Gon' get lit. Wake up, gon' and talk some shit. Listen to my episode. You know you want to. Gon' spread the word. You know you about to. I don't care if it's whack. Don't care if it's tacky. I'ma keep doing the shit like wacky tacky. I'ma rap all day till you get the picture. Spread this shit, nigga. Tell your sister. Tell your mama, nigga, tell your daddy. I'm hungry as hell, I could go for spaghetti. And I keep on rapping, cause I'm trying to get my podcast up. Nigga, come around this bitch and I just shut the fuck up. Listen to this shit I'm speaking, cause you know I got a reason why you niggas trying to listen. So you know you better not tripping. Listen to my episode, this the 10th episode. Okay, I'll quit. Y'all know I had to put something in there that just threw y'all off. But yeah, wake up, it's Monday. This is Quay. And I do this all day, day. You know I like to play all the time, cause you know I rhyme. I don't never use a pen, I don't write no lines. I just speak this shit at the top of my mind. And I do this shit all day, and I tell you one more time, like, oh girl, it's your birthday. We gon' wake it up on this Monday. Go girl, it's your birthday. Okay, I quit. I'm done, y'all. But just be expecting more, cause I got bars. And I'm finna get up in the car and get me a goddamn coffee. They say I'm chocolate like toffee. Okay, I quit.
Quando Street, so much pain in my heart because I've been through a lot. The other day, this bitch I love said she hope I'ma die. Deep down, she probably mean it, but she telling a lie. Cause when I'm gone, ain't no coming back. I'm high in the sky. When my granny left the world, that fucked me up as a kid. When I see my mama did that, fucked me up in the head. When I see my brother bleed, that's when the demon exists. My sister see my brother lean on MBK for the shit. with murder, we was making a mess. In the trenches, in the field, giving it all my best. Riding around in my Chevy, where the fuck niggas at? In the trap for the cheese, but I don't fuck with a rat. A nigga disrespect, Quan, that's when a nigga get wet. When my auntie Barbara died, that's when my mama broke. She was feeling how I'm feeling, couldn't take it no more. And when my mama April died, that's when my brother broke. He was feeling how I'm feeling, he was ready to go. In the field with the blinks, he was ready to scope. A nigga took him out his glow, now I'm ready for woe. Ain't no screaming, fuck his ops, bitch, I do it for dough. April World, Quando Streets, bitch, I do it for bro. In the barracks, nigga, we posted on that dance pack, we smoking. If a nigga think we joking, leave that fuck nigga wide open. Go in his crib, catch him loafing, leave him wet like a ocean. Knock them dreads off his head since he think he cheats open. You ain't ballin', nigga, the money callin', nigga. Fuck 12, fuck the judge and they daughters, nigga. You got a problem, nigga, okay, let's solve it, nigga. Line them up, take them out, it's fuck all them niggas. In my Chevy, nigga, I'm riding. Them fuck niggas ain't known shit. Them BBM niggas slotted. Got Max with them long. If you MBK for Dosey, take his head off, that's your trophy. If you 30-30 for red, make them niggas run like roaches.
This is what it is, but nigga, this what it is. I can get you killed, a nigga, and that's real. You know we got steel, a nigga, we do drills. I can get you killed, a nigga, and that's real. The real. This is what it is, but nigga, this what it is. Get you killed, a nigga, and that's real. You know we got steel, a nigga, we do drills. I can get you killed, a nigga, and that's real, the real.
Hello everybody, thank you for listening to the Queen Quemo podcast. Y'all, I was so damn excited about this interview. I had the honor and pleasure of speaking with the legendary Jane Elliott. If you don't know who Jane Elliott is, y'all need to go ahead and do a Google search on her right now. Search the Blue Eye Brown Eye Exercise. Learn a lot about who she is, what she stands for, her activism, her levels of education. Very, very thorough, 100 motherfucker. I fucks with her. I fucks with Miss Jane Elliott. She from the old school. I didn't feel like I should be interrupting her or trying to have no debate with her or none of that goofy stuff. Like, she's legendary. This was just an opportunity for the listeners to get a chance to know who she is, what she stood for, what she represent, and why she goes hard the way that she do. So shout out to Miss Jane Elliott. She's a phenomenal lady. She was cool on the interview and off the interview. I had an opportunity to just really rap and touch base with her. She was very pure, genuine soul, and I'm very happy that I had the pleasure of talking with her. So y'all tune into this episode. Y'all take a good listen, and after this, do your homework as to who she is and some of the things that she talked about.
Yeah, yeah, hey, come on. You ain't ready for the comeback. Black man to the dirt. I'ma hit him where it hurt. Better run that. Black man to the dirt. I'ma hit him where it hurt. Been a minute since I've been up in the spotlight, but I bet that I can still move the crowd. True definition of an MC, if you don't agree, then you need to move around. They be like, Black, you gotta give the people what they want. I be like, man, that's garbage. What you need to do is stay true to yourself. If you dope, then they gon' rock with you regardless. I'm a little old for the milli rock, but I guarantee my popularity will still increase. If you want sauce, then you need to take a trip to the city, go to Hell Chicken, pick up a six piece. Everybody anticipating on the return of Black. Once a minute, they don't turn it back. Nothing but burn the tracks and turn their stacks to a meal ticket. Ain't no way you finna deal with it. Ain't no such thing as a new me. Ain't another man that can do me. Forever I'ma represent 2-3. Thinking I'ma fall, you a goofy. Ain't no such thing as a new me. Ain't another man that can do me. Forever I'ma represent 2-3. Thinking I'ma fall, you a goofy. Get ready for the comeback.
Jordan 45, Jordan 45.
Get ready for the comeback.
Jordan 45, Jordan 45.
When you see me, better run that.
Jordan 45, Jordan 45.
When you see me, better run that.
run that.
Jordan 45, Jordan 45.
Everybody thought that I was done, hoping I had nothing left to show. I was forced to take a crucial break to make sure that my ducks was in a row. You would never make it in this game unless your normal life is good to go. Now I'm back on the scene and the crowd loves it. Give me the rock.
Damn. That go another siren, way too much violence. I know I ain't perfect, I was once wildin'. But now I got two children, I can't be childish. Nah, gotta keep my baby smiling. Made my mama proud, I'm just tryna make her prouder. All this pain make me wanna check into asylums.
When I get there,
yeah.
See you when I get there,
yeah.
See you if I get there,
yeah.
I see you if I get there,
yeah.
I know that I'll see you when I get there in heaven. Your memory is always gonna be here. I know that I'll see you when I get there in heaven. Your memory is always gonna be here.
Hello, everybody. You are now listening to the Queen Quamo podcast. Y'all got a special, special guest in the building, like special. We got Lady G, a.k.a. Jizzle, in the house. What's up, Miss Jizzle? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm good this morning. How are you?
Man, I'm chilling, drinking some coffee. You know, feeling pretty good today.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, so...
How you drink your coffee?
Man, me personally, I could drink it black, but if I got a little taste for some sugar, I'll put some cream in it.
Okay, okay.
You a coffee drinker?
Nah, not at all.
Oh, damn. Oh, you missing out, man. You got to try you some coffee.
Nah, I drank coffee for like 2 weeks. I'm really sensitive to like caffeine and stuff, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you I drink teas? Like,
had me like two turned up, so.
So what about teas? You drink teas?
Yeah, occasionally I'll have like the occasional like bro code, or like a, you know, a tea without caffeine. So whichever one those right. are.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they got some good little herbal teas, but me, I'm like a crackhead. I need my coffee. Like, I need some caffeine. Shit, I can't even function without no coffee.
Yeah, man, it's highly addictive, that's for sure.
That, man, that's a fact. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Let's talk a little about you. Like, I'm a fan, first of all. Like, I did a lot of, like, research about like the different songs you did, and like you so inspirational, like from beginning to end of how you started out.
Oh man, thank you so much.
No, thank you. Can you tell the audience a little bit about like who you are, where you from, you feel me?
Well, my name is Jizzle. I'm from Los Angeles, California. I grew up on the west side of South Central in Jefferson Park, which is like right near USC, about like a mile and a half west of USC. And yeah, I basically just got my start rapping all around the city and battle rapping. And I was battle rapping then. I had decided that I wanted to do music when I was about 11 years old. And I did this poetry reading where I performed my first rap and got like my first standing ovation, and so
Wow. That
was like where I was like, okay, this is like what I want to do. So I really just started to focus on my writing and developing my writing, and then I had got really inspired by watching the East Coast battle scene,
mm-hmm.
you know, like on the internet with like the Lady Lux and Reeve Dollars and now J. Mills, all those battles,
right.
Cannabis, Loaded Lux, and we didn't really have that kind of thing over in L.A. And when I was in high school, you know, the most important thing for me was just to kind of develop my skills. So I would just always be rapping and freestyling and just kind of getting everybody in school or, like, my friends involved. So I would have everybody, like, coming to school early so we could freestyle and battle each other. And then eventually I, like, battled everybody at schools. So people at the next school start hearing about me.
Yeah.
In the next school. And then I just was battling whoever, whenever, however.
Man, that's what's up.
Yeah.
And I love a good battle rap. I be playing around like on here. I be freestyling shit, but I ain't gonna hold you up. I rap like Andy Menonakis. I ain't gonna act like I got bars. But I love the sport of it, and I love to watch people like battle, cause like the best rappers is battle rappers to me. Like it takes some skill to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like a muscle you have to be constantly working out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could still freestyle if I'm, like, in that mode. But you definitely, it's like one of those things. It's like playing basketball or anything like that. Like,
right.
You can't really be a hooper if you're not out there hooping every day. So the same concept applies with, you know, freestyling and battle rapping. But because I was doing it every day, all day, you know, as a kid, you don't have any other responsibilities, you know, aside from school, which I was always very good at figuring out how to make it work for me.
So
I did that for a long while, and then I was like, you know, just trying to take advantage of every opportunity that would present to me.
Right. So, like, when you was young, you said you mainly was, like, battling and freestyling. Did you feel like it was harder to go from freestyling to writing?
No. At the same time, I was also, like, writing songs. Me and my uncle, we had our little group. So we would be learning, you know, we learned how to, like, count bars together and started to write, you know, like, my first verses. But I think that battling and freestyling is definitely a different discipline than songwriting. And once I decided that was something else I was going to develop, I just focused kind of solely on that.
Right.
But that came just like a little later once, you know, I had my first record deal offers and kind of decided on one that I would do, but I ended up passing on it. But that was when I was asked if I could write songs or if I thought I could write songs for other people, and I wasn't sure, but I was like, I'll give it a shot, you know?
Right.
I guess the little songs that I was writing for myself were okay enough, you know, but that's when I kind of found out that, you know, I have a kind of a knack for being able to tell other people's stories.
Right.
So
yeah, you definitely a storyteller. Like, I watched some of your stuff on YouTube, like, from, like, 2011, 2010. And, like, man, you was going off. I was like, okay, this shit. I was listening to it. I was feeling that shit. So, like, you had this one song when you had this line. You said, like, you been seeing gangsters getting killed before Tookie took the chair. Like, when you said, when you said that, like, I could relate to that, because even doing something like that, that's telling other people's stories, because people tend to forget about those who incarcerated, about people who, like, fallen soldiers. You see what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people forget, and it take people like yourself, like rappers, to make people remember, you know?
Yeah. Nah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, you snapped. You snapped.
That was a good little verse. Thank you.
So you say, like, basically, so you started, like, getting, like, you got your first record deal offer. You was like, they started asking you, could you write songs? Is that when you started, like, writing songs for other people?
Yeah, that's what I was, like a senior in high school, and we were waiting for me to turn in 18 because I was like about 6 months from turning 18.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like a lot easier and a lot cheaper to kind of do the deal once I was grown. So we waited on that, and you know, we like talked about what the deal would look like, but and then in the meantime, while we were waiting, they're like, all right, well, you know, we'll pay you to work on this album and work on these songs. So I worked on Lil Fizz's first solo project after he got out of B2K, and he had a single at the time that I did called The Edge featuring Ray J. So that was like my first single that I ever wrote, and like first song that was like on the radio in LA and stuff like that. You know, and I was still in high school or going to college, because I went to college too. So
okay,
I was 17, and yeah, that's where it all started. And I mean, I'm grateful for that, because it's so funny, because like, you know, I didn't really factor songwriting into my career at that point. Like, I just was like, oh man, you know, I'm a rap, boom, about to do my thing and blow up, and,
right,
you know what I'm saying? But you know, as a kid, even then, you know, the traditional record deal didn't make sense to me.
Right.
So I wasn't able to do it. So I was happy that I did have something else, like a new kind of discipline and skill set that I could make work for me in the meantime while I figured it out, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so like amazing, because I think a lot of people, like you said, they go in thinking rapper. I don't think a lot of people think about being a writer for other people, you know, and that's real dope that you was able like to make that transition and do both.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, you know, by the grace of God, I'm a flexible person. I'm not easily deterred, so you know, I know how to roll with the punches, and pretty much once my mind is set on something, you know, I'm gonna get it done no matter how long it takes. So even my career has just kind of been a testament to that. Like, and I, you know, it's always been important for me to do things on my own terms.
Yeah.
So I guess it was only gonna go one way, you know.
right. And so, man, and what's crazy though, like your manifestation, like, are you a person who believe in manifestation?
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. And I could kind of tell that because, like, I see that you got, you had an event, the Zen event, the Zen Thug event.
Yeah, Zen Thug Day.
Yeah, can you explain to people what that is and what that was about?
So Zen Thug Day is a day dedicated to spiritual development and mental health awareness. It's an event that we put on for free for the community. It's basically for, you know, primarily the black and brown community. I got into meditation back in 2014, mm-hmm. and yoga as well. And it really just changed my life. You know, I was in an interesting place in, like, my career and my life personally, and just, like, trying to figure it out. And I was just... And it wasn't that things were going bad, but I guess because I didn't have like a hold on my mind, or things weren't looking like where I thought it should look at that time. And I was also, Saturn was also in my house.
Right.
In transit. So I was also in a state of discipline and having to, you know, deal with that. So things weren't going to be as easy as I wanted them to be anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really had to start focusing on developing my sense of self and developing my spirituality and strengthening my faith. And that's like where meditation and yoga came in, and it just had such a profound effect on me. And I just like realized as I started to kind of grow in that discipline, and I, you know, my friends weren't into it, my family wasn't into it, you know, I might have met a few strangers, you know, that the universe brought to me that would kind of teach me things, but you know, there was like nobody around me doing it, into it, knew anything about it.
Right.
You know, and I was just like, what's so crazy is that everyone can benefit from it, and I could tell, you know, I could tell everyone around me when as I grew even more. I've never been, really high strung, but as I grew even more carefree and stress free and just on top of, you know, just in complete, I guess not complete control, but having a real handle on my emotions and my mood, you know, I saw everyone around me kind of being like, and then I just hold. I gotta find a way to share this, you know, and so I just really started in my journey. You know, I started calling myself a Zen Thug around like 2015, and Zen Thug kind of evolved just from that in my journals 15, 16, and we did the first one in 2017 for my birthday. I had a party, and I went to Vegas, but I wanted to end up with something, you know, positive and holistic. And so we did the first Zen Thug Day, I think December 3rd, 2017. And we did the second one in 2018, in December for my birthday again. But I think we did it like December 6th because I was traveling. But it was at that second one, at the one in 2018, everybody, we had an amazing turnout. You know, we had like 65, 70 black and brown people showing up on time.
Right.
Early, in fact.
Right.
Showing up early. And I was just like, okay, so people are looking for something. They're looking for the tools, you know, and that's all I wanted to do is like provide a space and provide the tools. We were very blessed to have the good friends of mine at Dream House, which is a nonprofit in LA that focuses on bringing arts back to the schools. They host us. They've been hosting us since 2018. And this year we decided to do it quarterly just off of the demand of the people.
Right.
So we did it in March. We just had our last one in June, earlier this month on June 2nd. And we'll have our next one September 1st, and then the final one will be on my birthday again, my actual birthday, December 1st.
That's real dope. Because I agree with you. I feel like now more than ever, people are trying to heal. You know, we all been through so many things. And I love, I'm a firm believer in meditation. I meditate often, real, real often. But I've been wanting to get into yoga, but man, I tried and I hurt myself real bad. So
I'll pick these fucking pieces up and leave my legacy. I just wanna go right now, cause when I take a look around, my smile turns to a frown. Everybody dead and gone, what I'm supposed to do now? I guess I'll pick these fucking pieces up and leave my legacy. At my funeral, don't let these niggas phony kick it. These hoes either, that love was non-existent. I hope my diamonds glisten, neck, wrist, fisting. That's why I'm on a mission. I ain't have a pot to piss in. Enemies and friends to me, it's hard to tell the difference. My remedy is Hennessy, Remy, and money getting. I lost too much to mention and paid the cost of living. I swear I seen it all. 2020 vision. So don't cry when I'm gone, I'm in a better place. And tell my daughter that I love her every single day. Sometimes the picture ain't perfect, but it's in focus. If you ain't looking for the right things, you won't notice. Don't be deceived by the things that you perceive. It's the worst to immerse in the flesh as the soul bleeds. When I'm dead and gone, just remember me. I've been living in hell, the afterlife gotta be heaven. I just wanna go right now, cause when I take a look around, my smile turns to a frown. Everybody dead and gone, what I'm supposed to do now? I guess I'll pick these fucking pieces up and leave my legacy. I just wanna go right now, cause when I take a look look around, my smile turns to a frown. Everybody dead and gone, what I'm supposed to do now? I guess I'll pick these fucking pieces up and leave my legacy. Truthfully, you'll never find another lover, friend, cousin, little or bigger brother. My misconception of the game tamed a young hustler. Time I spent inside them chains taught me to never trust ya. Sometimes the niggas in your circle be the ones to get you hit, and blood's thicker than water, yeah, until they fuck your bitch. Loyalty for royalty, I'm cutting ties and getting rich. Never quit my aim, high side, catch me if I slip. I'm reminiscing in the VIP, twisting up a stick, sip, sipping Parmesan, DJ spinning my shit. The bitches with me thicky thick, I got a couple in my grip, and the niggas by my side ready to die in this bitch. 2020 in my eyes, I seen it clear. I used to listen to they lies, now nobody here. I know I caught them by surprise. This what they fit, pull up, now they wanna ride. Fuck outta here, bitch, I just wanna go right now, cause when I take a look around, my smile turns to a frown. Everybody dead and gone, what I'm supposed to do now? I guess I'll pick these fucking pieces up and leave my legacy. I just wanna go right now, cause when I take a look around, my smile turns to a frown. Everybody dead and gone, what I'm supposed to do now? I guess I'll pick these fucking pieces up and leave my legacy.
Okay, the next show is Queen Quamo.
Hello, hello, everybody. First of all, I want to give a round of applause for the Women in Podcasting Festival. Let's clap it up. Very, very excited for the invite. Thank you all kindly. Thank you. Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Queen Quamo. I have a podcast available on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, etc. And my podcast is geared towards the Black and minority community, where I touch on serious issues like mental illness, poverty, plagues of the minority and Black community, as well as comedy. You know, you might get on there, I might be talking serious, and in the middle of talking serious, I bust into freestyling. So that's what I do. It's not all just serious topics. It's also topics that I like to talk about as well. So I just like to break the ice. Yeah. So like the Thank Me Later podcast, I grew up in the projects. I grew up in the ghetto, stuff like that. So how I started the podcast, I started it in January, but I always wanted to be on the radio like everybody else. So I used to listen to WGCI when I was living in Gary, and they used to do that. Who's that on my birthday line? It's gang gang, it's gang gang. Anybody listen to that? Anybody? Okay, nah. But anyways, I used to listen to that, and me and my brother and sister, we used to be in the basement, and we used to put on some roller skates because our father bought us some roller skates. We would be skating in the basement, and we had root beer, and we'd be pulling them in glasses, and we was just throwing a little party, and I was the DJ. My brother was rapping, I was the DJ. So we had like this little boombox radio, and we used to get perms back in the day. I used to get some relaxers, not now, but I used to get some relaxers. And it came with a little tape, so we used to record our mixes on the tape. So like anything that was playing on the radio, we'll record on the tape. So I always had a passion for using my voice. Well, in 2014, I moved to Denver, Colorado. And it was a lot different from being in Indiana. Denver, Colorado is a more suburban area than Indiana. So at that point, I got a chance to sit down and really like think about all of the issues that are plaguing the Black communities and the issues that I've been experiencing as well. So when I came back to Indianapolis, I was listening to The Breakfast Club. It's a podcast on iTunes. Check out The Breakfast Club, they're pretty good. I was listening to The Breakfast Club and I heard one of the people on there talking about Anchor FM. You guys know about Anchor FM? You podcasters, no? Okay, some of you do. Anyways, Anchor FM has a station where you can start your podcast for free. So I was like, all right, I always wanted to do radio. If they'll let me do it for free, I'll try it. So I went on ahead and tried it. And when I got on there, I like how I sound on the radio, but I was like, okay, this shit sounds stupid. I'm not talking about nothing. Like,
I liked how I sound. I like how my voice sound, but I wasn't talking about nothing. So I was like, okay, well, if I can get to iTunes, then I'll start talking about stuff that really, really matters, you know? So 2 weeks later after a podcast, and I just was being silly, getting on there cracking jokes, a kiki and all of that. 2 weeks later after that, I got on iTunes. So I was like, oh, snaps, I'm on iTunes. I was happy than mug, you know? So I'm on iTunes. I'm like, okay, well, I got to say something. Like, so I started taking it serious. So I was like, let me start looking up information that really matters. And so what I did was reached out to my community. I started talking with different people in the community, and I started realizing, like, a lot of the things I'm going through, some of my peers are going through as well, and we all feel like we need to voice our opinions. And so I felt like this platform should be used to give not just myself a voice, but those who grew up in the projects with me a voice, to give those who are women a voice, to give those of the minority community a voice. Because people think that podcasting is just a hobby. No. If you guys think about it, we are journalists. We are broadcasters. We're not just somebody who do this for a hobby, because I don't know about y'all, but I take my craft very seriously. So I don't just put content out there because it's fun and I have a lot of fun doing it. No, I take it serious, and I like to do some research and present things in a way where people learn something from it. Not just have fun, but learn something from it. So I feel like as bloggers and as podcasters, we have a responsibility out here. We are media. We are media coverage. We are the next best thing to press. So with us having our voice, with us using our voice, what do we want to say? What do we want people to learn from our platforms? How are we going to inspire people? And so that's exactly what I want to do with the Queen Quamo podcast. I don't want to just be the typical podcast where, you know, and this is no shade to anybody, okay, y'all? No shade, because I like everybody that's out here. Shout out to y'all, okay? This is no shade to anybody. It's just like, I think that we don't take our responsibility as important as we should, because it's, like, for right now, this is about women. So many women feel like it's important that we need to start speaking and voicing our opinions freely, because it hasn't been the norm. And I definitely feel like that for the minority and Black community. Anytime that we've advocated and started speaking about an issue, it's been thought of as complaints or not having effects together. And I don't want to do that. I want to take my responsibility seriously, but still do it in a joking manner where you can enjoy something from the podcast. So like I said, we touch on issues like, we touch on things as feminists, we touch on boycotts, we touch on child molestation, I even had a guest speaker come on, and she gave her personal experience about being molested and raped as a child, and how we can talk about these serious, serious issues that are very difficult to talk about to your children, because this is the power. Power is conversation. Like, if you cannot have a conversation with people, you can't do nothing else. If you don't know how to, like, present yourself with words, if you don't know how to present yourself through this media platform, what else can you do? You can't make a difference in anything else. So, like, I do feel like we have a lot of power, because so many people listen to podcasts. So many people get on social media. So many people click on blog articles, and they're doing it for a hobby, but sometimes they end up following you so much, they hold you responsible to give them what they're looking for. And so I just think, like, because I have so much fun doing it, like, if you guys listen to my show, I have a lot of fun. Like, I'm serious. I could be talking about something serious right now. Right now I'm serious because I don't know y'all yet. But if y'all listen to the show, in the middle of being serious, I get to being me, which is sometimes I'm laughing, sometimes I'm yelling, sometimes I'm cursing, sometimes I'm rapping. But at the end of the day, you get rawness. And I think that's what a lot of people from my community can relate to, is rawness. Like, because every day, this is what we go through. So I want to not only just tell my story, but tell stories from people of my community, and doing it in a way where other people from different communities could get a chance to come in. You know, I want to open that door. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Anybody got some questions? Go ahead. Yes.
And what we're left with is this void, and that's what people go to are the big industries.
Yes.
It's not helping ourselves on a local level.
Yes, and I want to say something about that. I want to say something about the big industries and like the people that are like press, considered press. A lot of the times, the information they're getting is from bloggers. They're lazy. Like, the media game has changed since the 90s to the 2000s. So a lot of the times, you thinking that your platform is not big enough, you will be surprised what big industry person is listening to your podcast or scrolling on your blogs or how many people you get and follow you. So they like, you know what, let me see what this person is talking about. Because again, that's all about attraction. So if they can get something from you that could attract other listeners and other like communities of people, they'll do it. And so it's a very lazy game nowadays. Like in the 90s, they had to, you know, follow paparazzi and they had to do a lot of legwork. Now, you just get on social media. If you want to confirm something is true, how many times do y'all want to find something that's true? You get on Facebook. Majority of the times, that's what I do. If I be like, oh, they said Cardi B is pregnant. That's what I did when I found out Cardi B was pregnant. I'm like, let me get on her Instagram. I got on her Instagram. Oh, she is pregnant. That's what we do. It's like now it's a lazy game where we get information straight like this. Nobody does legwork anymore. Nobody goes out and communicate with people anymore. Like right now, if you want to meet people, what do? Get on social media. You want to go dating, what do? Create a dating account. When's the last time you just actually like, you know, I want to meet some people. Let me go to the park. Who does that anymore? You know, it's creepy. Yes, it's creepy. So like it's now we at a point where I try to hold like bloggers and podcasters responsible. Like we got a responsibility here. Like we are independent news coverage. That's how I take it. Because you have the power to tell stories and people listen. To get people to listen to you and follow you, that's a powerful thing. You feel me? That's a powerful thing. So like that's where like I am with podcasting. I take it very, very serious. But like I said, the show is not so serious. Take a listen. You guys, take a listen. It'll be worth your while. Check out Queen Quamo podcast. But yeah, that was one of the things that just kind of like made me like draw towards this, because I don't like the way that the blacks in the minority community is represented on the media. It's very negative, like to the point where I was in Colorado, and it's not a lot of black people in Colorado. So when I go there, I had my afro all out. You know, I was team natural and everything. So they coming up to me, oh my God, can I touch your hair? I'm like, no, don't. So then when they do, like people get close enough, they touch it, like, it's soft. I thought it was gonna be like, I'm like, why would you think my hair is hard like a Brillo pad? And it's not because it was to the point where I like got comfortable. It wasn't that they were trying to insult me. They never been around me. So the things that they seen on the news, that's what they thought black was. And the way that black people are represented on the news is ridiculous, because not all black people are criminals and thugs and ratchet. That's not us. We have a high stigma to ourselves, and I don't think that the media presents that. You see what I mean? So like, this is where my platform comes in. Let me go into the community and give people a choice, give them a voice. What do you want people to know about you? Mental illness that goes on heavily into our communities. So much mental illness in our communities. LGBTQ, so much heavily into our communities. But because of the different stereotypes and the different issues that comes with that, no one wants to have those conversations. And when they do have those conversations, it's not a conversation where it's comfortable. So what I try to do is make it comfortable. I don't want people to feel like when they come talking to me, they can't be themselves. That's got to be very troubling. And that's what the media contributes to. So that's where, like, if you learn anything from me today, bloggers, podcasters, all you people from Indianapolis, Chicago, wherever, how y'all doing, Midwest in this house? Take your blogging responsibility to another level. You are media. Be very, very like
overprotective about your art and your craft, because we work hard for these platforms. And it's yours. You earn it. You own it. You created it. It's yours. This is something that you have power over. And what do you want to influence? How do you want to inspire people and take people to the next level? Do we want to be like the rest of the media covers, like Fox News, where people just hate us? Like, we go to them strictly for gossip, because I don't even get any news from them. It's just gossip. Like, I look at that, and I could have got that from my niece. Like, I could have straight talked to my niece, and she could have told me the same thing Fox News told me. You feel me? Yeah. We have a responsibility out here, and I think, like, what you guys are doing, shout out to y'all, to South Group Media. Get that on there. Shout outs to y'all. Shout outs to y'all for getting all of these women together and doing these podcast marathons, because this is keeping us together. It's our responsibility to come together, figure out what we want to do, like how we want to inspire the world. Yeah. You know, we're in that era, like, where we need some inspiration, because how much inspiration do you get nowadays from television? You got something to say?
I have a question.
Sure.
Well, first of all, thank you for being a beautiful black woman trying to make a difference.
Oh, thank you. I am. Thank you.
Have you found a lot of support in the black women community, and from who?
Yes. Believe it or not, my black brothers support me a whole lot. My brothers support me a lot. I like to play a lot of the music from the Midwest communities, you know, to support talents, black businesses, black authors, black whatever. You know, it's very important for me to make them feel inspired and to continue doing what they're doing, to let them know that even with all of this negativity, I still see you shining. So a lot of my brothers support me. My sisters support me as well. Shout out to my sisters. Y'all see me out there. Shout out to my sisters. My sisters support me as well, but I feel like I get a lot more support from my brothers than I do my sisters. I do. Yeah, and it really surprised me, and I'm happy. Like, I'm really grateful that they like what I'm doing. People will, like, be tagging me in posts. People will, like, inbox me, like, you know, that episode you did about facing your fears, that really helped me. I had something that I was supposed to do and I was scared, because, like, that's another thing too. Even for me coming here, my tire, like, was bad, and so I had to get my tire changed to come here. So I started getting anxiety and I started doubting. We have doubt a lot, and it's because when we try to do something different and we trying to take ourselves to the next level, you feel like someone's knocking you off of your square. So it's very easily for you to give in to fear and give in to doubt. And so a lot of times I try to inspire those who feeling that, because I feel it too. Like, I feel it daily, like anxiety, just different things we done been through. I feel it. So, like, I try to always inspire people, like, and they feel it too. They'll let me know, like, man, shout out to you. Thank you for doing that episode. Thank you for sharing this. Thank you for doing that. And I think also too, bloggers, it's important for you to go into your communities. It's so important. Like, it shouldn't be just about listeners and about an audience, because if it is, what are you willing to give in return? Like, we asking them to be given, time is so valuable. Money, you could lose money, you could get robbed, you could get it back. Somebody could steal from your house, you got insurance, you could get that stuff back. Your time, you're not getting that back. You're not getting that back. So you ask somebody to spend 30 minutes to an hour of your time listening to what you see is greatness, what do you want to give them? So your top quality should be number one, and you should try to do things to give back to your community. You feel me? Like, and I just think that's important. I just do. So yeah. Anybody else got something to say?
The elephant in the room. How do you feel about the Laquan McDonald thing?
The who? How do I feel about that? About time. Yes, no, seriously, about time.
Yeah.
I feel like so often me and my people become numb to not even seeing nothing happen.
But
like, numb.
Is second-degree murder good enough?
Is it good enough?
16. As opposed to, you know, when 16
To be honest with you, I can't answer that. If it's good enough, I'm just happy something happened. Because really, it's not good enough. Like, all of the years of things, you talking Emma Till, you talking Trayvon Martin, you talking Sandra Bland. The list just goes on. There's so many cases that have been publicized. What has happened? Besides people just being angry. And do you know what that does to you mentally as a black person waking up every day knowing that this is how things happen to you and nothing happens? And then when things like this happen, you're to blame. Well, black people shouldn't do this. Black people shouldn't do that. Black people shouldn't do this. Well, hello, if you do the history, shit, I didn't start it. I was born into it. So, like, what do you expect me to do? So it's just like so many things where we do have to have conversations to make ourselves, like, feel empowered to keep living. Like, that alone, when you see that time after time, the media is bad with that. They don't understand what it does to you psychologically. To see those type of images as a representation of yourself. Like, even when you go to school and you see history, what representation of history do we see other than slavery? I don't see any black leaders. We see Dr. Martin Luther King very suddenly. And it's like, oh, he died. You see what I mean? And so it's like, we do have to understand the greatness that we possess as a race, and we need the support from other races as well, because it's not something that's just going to change overnight. It's not.
I just want to say thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
One of the reasons why I was watching live because I was at Burger King. And I'm gonna be honest.
Yes.
But that just shows me how important it is to have women like you representing. And for, because I thought I was the only person that, like, did stuff like that as a kid. And then for you to say that, I was like, that was me. And then I don't have a show right now. Like, I don't have a podcast. But I came here from someone who has a podcast.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. And you know, and I don't regret it. Like, I started doing this January 7th. I got maybe 96 episodes. Like, when I tell you I was hungry when I started, like, hungry, like, I couldn't go to sleep. I was up all night looking stuff up and trying to perfect this and trying to perfect that. And and it's to the point where the listeners is like, damn, can you slow down? I only, you know, I'm trying to listen, but you got too many. Like, can you slow down? So I had to slow up so, like, my listeners could get caught up, because I'm like, damn, they got a life. They can't just listen all day long. And then I'll be so heavy with advertising. I'll be like, oh, you want to listen to my podcast? No problem. Listen when you're bathing. Listen when you're going to the bathroom. Listen till you go to... I'm like, okay, I can't consume all of their lives, so I got to slow down. So
they say that's drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah.
Because you just can't take it all.
Yeah, like, that adrenaline, it'd be crazy. So, yeah. Anybody else got any questions? Sure.
You know, there's a lot to be said for like learning our history, right? Knowing where we come from and all of that. But another part of history is what we're doing right now, writing our own history and telling our own stories. And I think it's awesome that you have put yourself in a position that you can help tell the stories that need to be told, and to write history from the perspective of the people who are living it. Right?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
From what I've been taught from my parents, who are white, who are, you know, I grew up in Seattle. I don't have any context to put everything that you hold within you except for you. And now you've found that platform and you're out there doing it. And that, to me, is amazing. And it's
Thank
wonderful.
You.
I think it's a huge gift that you are able to give to my children and to me that don't have the ability to have that perspective. And now we do. And
Thank you.
It's just a beautiful thing.
Thank you. And I'm glad you said that, because that's something, too, that I want to encourage everybody out there, especially my black folks. You getting this? Document your stories. We get on Facebook all damn day. How many of us just get on there when we scrolling, when we on the bathroom, when you at work, when you ain't got nothing else to do, when you sad, you get on there. We just on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram all the time. It takes 5 minutes to sit down, document something in the book. It's too many resources out here where you can publish your stories. Write your stories down so that way it won't just be hearsay. Write down stuff so when you get old, or if you pass on, Lord forbid, they have documentation of what you experienced. Because usually half the times when you die, your experiences die with you. What did you do to preserve your history? Write it down, document. If you want to broadcast, broadcast. If you want to Facebook Live, Facebook Live. But also keep record. Keep record, your own record. Keep a physical copy of your records, of your history, your experiences, the things that your family went through, your sicknesses that you're going through. Because that's another thing. We have so many sicknesses that run in our families we know nothing about because they die before we get a chance to find out. Documentation is important. Like they tell us even at work, if it's not documented, it's not done. Document your stories. That's all I got.
Well, that's
you got some? Thank you. Mm-hmm.
With your own, I know you never been through nothing personally, but not that I know of. But
okay.
How did you take that story on your own? Like,
first of all, when she told me that story, I felt like privileged that she wanted to share that with me. And it also made me think back about things that I've experienced in my life. Have I been through this? What could I have done differently? What could we do to prevent it now for the kids coming? Because it's a very serious issue, especially you see all of the stuff on the news about sexual assault and rape. We need to understand the difference too with those two definitions, and we need to explain it to the kids. Because a lot of the times, we don't know the difference between sexual assault and rape. There is a difference. And the reason why I say that is because the way that you treat both scenarios. Some things can be changed with a conversation because you might not know what's wrong.
Right.
Sexual assault can be somebody touching you inappropriately and it can be perceived as sexual assault. Rape is rape. So where's the conversation where we discuss the difference between that fine line so that we can stop a lot of these things from happening? A lot of these behaviors and instances where these things are happening can be avoided with conversation. And we need to have these conversations. And so every platform can be having these conversations. What is wrong? What is right? What is the way I want a man to approach me? What is the way? And not just for women, men. Have men felt uncomfortable with different women getting into their personal space? And what voice do they have? We need to sit down and have those conversations. Sorry. Thank you. I'm nervous now. Thank you. Yeah.
So you ever get nervous when you're bringing up these conversations that aren't easy on the ear? You ever get nervous?
Yes, all the time. Really, really nervous. As a matter of fact, I did an episode about the Bill Cosby situation and the Bill Cosby case, and it really drained me because I did a lot of research and I tried to make sure I was sensitive to both sides. Because again, this is where I say the media is responsible. Once we put a story out there, everybody hears it. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Nobody cares about you being wrong because I heard what you said. It's your responsibility as people who are journalists and bloggers and podcasters to be very, 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 very sure about the information that you're giving to the next person. You don't want to make an error and misquote something that's not true. And so I think that one really drained me because it is such a serious topic, and I'm a woman. Of course, I want to make sure I represent and advocate for us in the right way, but I also am black. So I got two struggles, a woman and black.
Two strengths.
Two strengths now, hey. Two strengths, but yes, this is a serious thing that I feel like sometimes it does drain you and it does make you nervous and it does give you anxiety. And I just try my hardest to push through it because it's not easy. It's not easy.
You ever find yourself internalizing the emotional struggle of the guests that you bring on?
Yes. Yes. That is the hardest part. Like, that's the hardest part, trying not to be biased when you have different people coming and conversing with you. It's difficult, but I try to. What helps me with that is thinking about people listening. Who is this going to help if I intervene with the message? You see what I'm saying? So I try my hardest. I have to pray, and literally sometimes I might cut the mic off, like, give me 5 minutes, and I'll tell them what I got to say off of that mic. And then I'll cut it back on. Because sometimes you got to do it, because if you have a private conversation, it's different than when it's on the mic. When people know people are watching and listening, they're different all the time. You might be interviewing a regular person, and then out of nowhere, you get Beyonce in the room. You'd be like, wait a minute, this is not the person that I was supposed to interview. Who are you? I don't know who you think you are, but yeah. So sometimes you have to have those conversations outside of the mic, before the mic. So, and I think my time up, y'all, but thank y'all.
I planted some seeds while I was thinking of you, you, you. They blossom from lust and all the thoughts that I brew. I admit I am ashamed, 'cause these ain't no violet or iris or ivy. Zinnia or senna, jasmine or magnolia or lotus. These are black roses. From lust and all the thoughts that I've brewed, I admit I am ashamed, 'cause these ain't no violet or iris or ivy. Zinnia or senna, jasmine or magnolia or lotus. These are black roses. Black roses. They're black roses. Can you handle black roses? Black roses. Doorbell, deep breath, all black bouquet. Hope it's no fiasco, praying that I'm Lupe. Longing for that act right, I can give a mood change. I'ma bring the dick back, this is not a boom game. If you want to, we can keep it on a down down. Got that 12 play on surround sound, while I'm rubbing on your pretty brown round. You got a nice shot, I'm talking pow pow. Whoa there, don't make me bust back. It's gonna be a long ride, hope you got your lunch pack. Best you ever had, the dick that they pay for. Add me to your hit list, hit me with the Draco. Baby, slow it down, they gotta speed.
Hey, want to get caught up on your latest Queen Quamo podcast episodes and just can't find the time? No problem. I can help with that. Listen to Queen Quamo podcast while you shit, while you take a bath, while you do your baby's hair. Listen to Queen Quamo podcast everywhere. That's right, everywhere. Search Queen Quamo podcast on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play Music, etc. Listen to Queen Quamo podcast and holler at your fucking girl. Yeah. Search Queen Quamo podcast. That's right. Her website is www.queenquamo.com.